Psalms 81. I appreciate Brother Ennis. This is, I was telling Brother Rich, we were in a meeting together. We've been together the last 2 weeks. And he was talking about coming down to be with Dr. Ennis. I said, you're going to like Brother Ennis. I said, he's a gentleman preacher. Well, we can all say that, can't we? I appreciate what the Lord's done in my life. God allowed us to pastor 15 years and had a great pastor. And pastored some of the sweetest folks there ever was. If they had just had a good pastor, they'd have been all right. But God called us into missions work. I don't know why. So many others he could have called, but I'm glad he called me. I'm excited about what God's doing in my heart. Being on deputation is an interesting thing. You get to go around. God always allowed us to travel around right much. In Psalms 81, look in verse number 11. I want to bring a little thought this morning. Just I'm going to give it to you real quick. And one of the things I've noticed that I'm afraid, and I noticed camp meeting, and Dr. Ennis, I'm just going with God here. But what I see so much as I travel around is good Bible folks, good Bible church folks has lost their sweetness. And a lot of pastors lost their sweetness. A lot of preachers lost their sweetness. A lot of missionaries lost their sweetness. I believe God wants us to be sweet. The Word of God tells us here in verse number 11, it says, but my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. Look at verse 16 with me. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat and with honey out of the rock, should I have satisfied thee. I'm interested in that little verse right there, and with the honey out of the rock, should I have satisfied thee. Let's pray. My God, we love you today, and my, how we need you this morning. Thank you, Lord, for this great meeting, and thank you for this opportunity to stand. Lord, I don't want to squander it today, but Lord, I want to do exactly what you'd have me to do. And if you'd help me do that, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. This thing about being sweet, or I've titled a thought this morning, hanging on to the honey. I believe you got to work to hang on to the honey, don't you? I mean, this thing about being sweet is something that's it's a constant thing every day. Because it doesn't take long for something to come along to kind of steal your joy and steal your happiness. And, you know, where you once had a burden for folks and where you once loved folks, we say we love the unlovable. I'm glad God loved the unlovable when he loved me. Amen. I was one of those good Christian boys. I was one of those good religious boys that was lost and going to hell without God. But if you asked all my neighbors, they said, you'll not find a finer young man than John Fawcett. You'll not find a finer church boy than John Fawcett. But the only problem was I never accepted Christ. You see, God intended nothing but the best for Israel. I believe we could all agree today that he wanted the best for Israel, and he still does want the best for Israel today. He delivered them out of Egyptian bondage. He let them go through the wilderness wanderings in order to build their character and teach them that they can depend on him. And I believe God wants nothing but the best for us. This is not a health and wealth kind of thing, but I just believe God wants the best for us. But we've got to want the best for us. We heard a preacher preach last week about mediocrity. I believe we have become mediocre Christians, honestly. It's sad to say, but it's the reality of the day we're living in. But in that last verse right there, it says, with the honey out of the rock. My wife kept bees for a little while. It didn't take her long to get over that. And she couldn't understand why I didn't enjoy doing it. But I got this thing, I don't enjoy being stung. And just the thought of them things swarming on me and stinging me and me swelling up and exploding, I didn't find any joy at all in that thought. But she wanted to keep bees, so she did it for a few years, and we found out real quick she could have made more money going down buying lottery tickets with that money she was buying, paying for those bees. It's a very expensive hobby. I'll tell you that, very expensive hobby, especially when there's nothing there to keep them bees home. They fly away anytime, right?
But I began to study. So when we had the first failure with the bee situation, I started studying up a little bit about bees. I wanted to find out some things about what we were up against. And as I began to learn a little bit about bees, I thought, man, this relates directly. I can see a direct relation to what attacks a beehive as to what attacks the joy in a Christian's life. And I learned as I studied that thing that beehives and bees, now there's bacteriological things that can happen. There's a fungus they can get. There's a mites that they can get. But they really only have three natural enemies. And I thought, man, how can that be just three natural enemies? So I studied that thing a little bit, and I saw a direct relationship with the losing of the honey out of the hive as it relates to the church losing its joy. Amen. And the Christians losing their sweetness. You know, the church loses its joy when the individual Christian loses their sweetness. And it don't take long. It spreads like a wildfire through the church, right? It spreads that way in your home. Spreads that way through the workplace. It's not just the church. You see, the church has problems because the home has problems. Yeah, right. The home has problems because individual Christians are struggling these days to stay sweet and have the joy that we're supposed to have. Because I believe the Bible teaches very clearly we're supposed to have a lot of joy. Yes. Amen? Yes, when I think about where I could be and where I should be right now, it don't take me long to get happy about that. Amen? The first thing was that I said there's three natural enemies. One is ants. You said, how can something as small as an ant attack a beehive? Well, it doesn't take long for ants to ravish and destroy an entire hive of honey. And they can actually, I learned, accomplish it very quickly. You see, a hive of bees, especially if they're already weak, does not stand a chance against a colony of ants. Now, the thing that's interesting about ants is it relates to the other two adversaries that the beehive has. Is ants will only eat the honey. That's all they want. They don't care about the bees. They don't care about the atmosphere. They only want to eat the honey. Ants always destroy. They never build up. You got people like that in your life? You got some family members like that in your life, maybe. Right? I know. I got some family members like that in my life. Amen. You're a pastor. You probably got some church members like that. They're constantly eating. They're constantly partaking. They're constantly consuming, but they never put nothing back. Amen. That's a dangerous way to be. By the way, that's the way cancer attacks our body. Understand? It begins to consume the cells in our body until our body can't reproduce fast enough to keep up. By the way, that's what happens in your Christian life. A little bit of gnawing here, a little bit of activity there, and before long, you get so consumed with trying to protect what you have that you'll actually lose what you need to keep. You got any ants in your hive today? You see, an ant comes in so meek and mild and quietly, they don't make a lot of noise. They'll sit around in your life, and they'll enjoy everything, and they'll take things away and put nothing back. They're constantly draining. But they're never adding anything back in return. I want to tell you what, we got to constantly be adding to this Christian. I'm not talking about adding to your salvation. I'm talking about adding to your Christian life. Boy, I tell you what, God's been good to me. I look back over my life and I see what God's done and the things God's delivered me from. And 17 years in law enforcement, and God protected me and kept me safe every one of those days, brought me home safe every night. God had a plan for my life. And God allowed me to pastor. Now God's allowed me to do this. And it's amazing when I look back now through those times what God has done. Amen. But if I had a got saved, that would have been wonderful. But if I had stopped right there, brother, you know what? Yeah. My hive would be empty right now. Right. Yeah. God allowed me to get up this morning, open my eyes on this side of eternity, and got in His Word and read and prayed. And I had good time, but had a good time with the Lord this morning. Why you do that, preacher? Because I want to keep the honey in the hive. Amen. I can't depend on yesterday's blessings. It was good yesterday. It was good last night. But that's in the past now. That's in the history books. That's yesterday. Amen. I don't want to live on yesterday's blessings. Yes. Right. That's Amen. What's sinking a lot of churches. They want to live on yesterday's blessings.
Right. Yeah. Tell it, preacher.
Thank God I still believe God wants to do something for us today, don't you?
Yeah.
I hope you woke up this morning expecting God to do something for us today. So the first enemy's ants, something so small. The next one's mice. You say, wow, mice. I can see where the mice are getting there and eat all that honey. They're not really interested in the honey. They like to get in the hive because it's warm in there. You ever notice the places a mouse will nest? They're trying to get warm. They want to look somewhere to set up housekeeping. They'll eat some of the honey. Naturally, they will. It'd be silly to say that they wouldn't, because if you leave a little, you leave something sweet out on the counter tonight, and you'll find out if you got any mice in your house or not. But they'll eat some. But mostly, what they want is they're looking for a place to live. I don't like to call them mice. I call them rats. But look at, they're all rats. The little ones, big ones, they're all rats. Amen. We got a lot of rats in our family too, don't we? You see, when them rats move in your home, when those rats move in your life, you know what they're doing. They're comfortable there. They don't mind if you go to church. They're just going to keep you enjoying going.
Right. Amen.
You see, the bees can't fight off the mice. Well, wait a minute, them bees can sting them mice. Let me tell you a little something about a bee. I'll say this again in a minute, probably, if I have time. One bee, one sting. That's it. One bee, one sting. Boy, they've like Barney Fife. They got one bullet. When it's gone, they're out of luck. I mean, you got to understand, you think about a bee, he's just got all these things at his disposal, all this armor at his disposal, all these weapons. He's only got one stinger. He's got one bullet. That's it. It's over with. But see, the mice move in. And see, the mice recreate very quickly. That's the way sin is in your life. Start out real small. I can deal with this. I can handle it. I can control it. Before long, it's controlling you.
Right.
That's the way the mice are when they get in the hive of the honey. That one or two comes in. Next thing you know, there's five or six. Next thing you know, there's 10 or 20. Next thing you know, the bees have literally worked themselves to death trying to protect the queen and protect the hive.
Right.
In their day. Guess what? Mice don't care.
That's right.
You know, most folks I've seen over the years, their loved ones, you pastor ever seen this? A wife get on the altar and squall and beg her husband to get saved and get one, and then he gets saved and gets on fire for God, and then she gets out of church because he's making her look bad. They wanted him to get just enough salvation so he'd start paying his bills, quit coming home drunk every night, but they didn't want him to get crazy for God.
Right. Go ahead.
You see, that's the way the mice are. They don't mind you having, you know, you ever had her. Well, y'all got a little religion to be all right, but y'all done gone crazy, you know. You know, the world don't mind if we have a little religion. There's all kind of religion in the world today. The world don't mind if we have a little religion. I'm glad I didn't get religion. I had religion. I'm glad I got saved.
Yes.
Man, I'm glad I got Jesus in my heart. I'm glad I got something worth living for. You see them rats get to hanging around. They're just like them ants. They ain't putting nothing back. You see, a rat will run the preacher all over the country. See, rats will hang around. Rats will hang around, and they love the singing. They endure the preaching. It's all right. I'll be done in a minute. Okay. I mean, this is the morning crowd. Y'all ought to be shouting and running the aisles. Amen. The third thing is, see, I'm preaching the way I used to be a pastor. Amen. The third thing is a skunk. Now, I'm telling you the truth. Now, you studied up. You can go home and study it up. I'm telling you right. I preached this the other day at a church, and I didn't know there were five or six professional beekeepers in there. You better be right when you preach stuff in the house of God.
Amen.
They come to you, oh, you was right, preacher. You was right. Everything you said, you was right. You say, well, does the skunk actually, what does he do, preacher? Does he knock that hive over and get the bees out? Nope. He don't care a thing in the world about the hive. Listen to me now.
The world don't care a thing in the world about this church, Brother Eamon. They could care less. The city leaders, the county people, all these people. And y'all got such beautiful grounds around here. Man, I never could understand that. A church that loves God and keeps a community in good shape and keeps our grounds beautiful. I never did. It seemed like the county would just come by and send us a card every now and then and tell us how much they want us in the community. But they don't care about the church. They don't want to have. The world don't want to have. The skunk don't want to have. He don't even want the honey. He just wants the bees.
Right.
You say, well, that don't make no sense. How can he get them bees? Because if the bees stay in the hive, won't they be safe and healthy? Y'all finally figured it out.
Yeah.
You know what the skunk does? The skunk will go outside the hive, and like a dog kicking and scratching, he'll scratch dirt, throw dirt, rocks, sticks, anything he can on the outside of the hive. And when he does that, the bees inside get nervous. They go outside to investigate, and there's old Skunky, just like a Hoover vacuum cleaner.
You're right.
See, there's only one way in and one way out of the hive.
Right.
And as they come out, he's waiting for them. And after he gets his old belly full, and he's done annihilated that hive, and he never had to go inside, Brother Ennis. You know what that's happening with the joy in your life? What's in the house of God ain't what's stealing your sweetness. It's what's outside. What you hear preached from this pulpit is not stealing your joy and not taking your sweetness away. It's what you deal with all week long outside. Hey, I see it. I see it all the time. And again, it starts at the individual Christian's life. It manifests itself in the family. And eventually it manifests itself in the church. Y'all see people just like I do. Boy, they fuss and fight and argue and cuss all the way to the house of God. And then come in the house saying, oh, how I love Jesus. Done beat the young'uns in the parking lot, black and blue. Done argue with the wife, said they wasn't going to ever speak to her again. Come on in the house of God, honey. Let's praise the Lord together. And wonder why they can't get nothing out of the house of God.
That's good.
Boy, I tell you what, pulpits like this all across America and all across the world, boy, if you sit into this kind of preaching, you ought to be happy about it.
Amen.
Boy, my preacher, Brother David Bolick, I tell you what, He was in Vietnam. He was a Marine in Vietnam. He said when he grew up, he went off to Uncle Sam's Club for Misguided Children, the USMC, and they sent him to Paradise Island. First vacation he'd ever had out of Mill Hill. Sometimes I think he thinks he's still in Vietnam. Boy, you got to eat razor blades every now and then, but I love his preaching. Amen. I hate I don't get to go no more than I do, but I got to go to church at my home church Sunday with my pastor, and boy, I heard my pastor preach about rolling stones out of your life, and boy, I loved it. Good preaching shouldn't make you less sweet. It ought to make you sweeter. Amen. Boy, you see those skunks around. You see, they're not going to try to get nobody to leave the church. Because if they make enough racket outside, they figure they'll leave by themselves. Isn't that not right?
Yeah, right.
You see, the bees are already tired from dealing with the ants. Bees are already exhausted from dealing with the mice. But when they hear all that commotion outside, they say, we got to go outside and see what's going on. No doubt the queen, if bees could talk, is saying, please stay in here. I need you here with me. Please stay in here with me. I need you in here with me. But they say, we'll be right back. And they never come back. You know why? They're so weak. They're so anemic already. They're so much in danger of literally passing out from working. They never come back. The life of the hive is in the queen. She's the center. The hive only exists because of the queen. The life of the hive is in reproduction. You believe that? That's the only thing. My wife didn't have beehives because she liked to watch the bees come and go, fly back and forth, come and go, fly back and forth. No. We wanted the honey out of the hive. And you don't get honey out this year and then not expect honey again next year. And the next year, and the next year, and the next year. That's why you have bees.
Yeah.
You realize that's why God's got us? He's looking for us to reproduce ourselves. The life of the church and the Christian is in the King. We know that this morning. We exist because of Him. Our life's purpose is to reproduce ourselves. If we're going to hang on to the honey, there's five ways to save a Christian, five ways to save a church, five ways to save your life personally from losing all your joy. I'll give you these real quick, and I'm done. We lost our first honey hive. We lost our first hives of honey. We went down to the state fair. We go down and look at animals and all that stuff, but we specifically wanted to talk to the bee people. And this is what the bee people told us. Brother, you got bees. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? I know. I don't guess you can tell. You help me out too much. I know you know what I'm talking about. Number one, they said you must keep a constant care on your hive. You got to keep close check on it. You don't leave your hive up to chance. I hope you're not leaving your Christian life up to chance today. I hope you're not saying, well, I've got a lot of good Christian friends. Well, that's the way a lot of people are that don't come to church like they're supposed to, and a lot of people that don't pray like this, but don't read their Bible. Like, well, you know, my preacher, he's a good preacher. I just kind of go by what he tells me. That won't get you through some tough times. You got to keep a constant care of your hive. Number two, the bees and the workers must be kept healthy. Sick bees are vulnerable bees. Spiritually sick Christians are vulnerable. Vulnerable to bad doctrine. They're vulnerable to being led astray. Well, that's a problem, isn't it? Third thing is, if the queen leaves the hive is dead. Now, God don't leave us, we know that. But we sure can suppress him, can't we? I'm country, but I believe if we suppress God enough, and God really wants to bless us, and we won't receive our blessing, or we won't get in a good place to get blessed, God say, all right, I'll go down the road and find somebody else who wants it.
Yes, he will. I believe that, preacher.
Man, I just believe that. I watched it over the years. I think I've seen that be proved out by God. He'll find somebody to do it. If you won't do it, he'll find somebody, and see, you missed the blessing by not doing it. If the queen leaves the hive, the hive's dead. And the fourth thing is, the bees can only be safe if they're going to and from the hive. No detours. No visiting another hive.
Right. Amen. Amen. Go ahead. That's good.
You don't always get a good amen on that one right there. This crowd, I watched them for years. Well, I'm going to go to church here, but my wife and my youngest going to go to church over y'all. Are you crazy?
Come on. Yes.
I mean, that won't never work. That won't even work on paper. I mean, those things never work out. Well, we got equal opportunity Christians these days. Well, I want to go to church here, and then we'll go over yonder, and then we'll go, man, they get all kinds of different flavors. It's just like going to Baskin Robbins. That ain't what the Christian life's all about.
Amen.
Yeah, man, get in somewhere where you hear the word of God and settle in and serve God.
Amen.
The fifth thing is, they're actually defenseless against any attack. They must depend solely on an outside influence to survive. You realize today as a Christian, you're totally defenseless. You are. You must depend on an outside influence to survive. We got to do our part to hang on to the honey in our lives. We can't leave it up to chance. Oh, wouldn't it be sad? I'm not trying to elevate you, Dr. Ennis, but I've never seen you when you look like you was down. Surely you've had down times. I mean, a few years ago I was here and you were sick, but you wouldn't never know. If somebody hadn't have told it on you, I wouldn't have never known. But I go around some people, and y'all know what this like. Y'all got them. You see them around town. You see them in church. You don't ask them how they're doing. I don't want to know. I got something else to do before the Lord comes back. I can't. You know, that's people I say, good to see you. I didn't ask them how they's doing. You know why? Because I know a lot of people just ain't very sweet. I know a lot of people have no joy in their life. And that's a sad state to be in.
How am I going to keep this from happening to me? Well, we just talked about keep a close eye on your hide. Keep a close check on yourself. Amen?
Yes, sir.
Keep yourself healthy spiritually. Make sure Christ has his rightful place in your life.
Yes, sir.
Settle in. Be faithful. Be faithful. And understand most of all that you're totally dependent on God. Because you are. Everything we do is dependent on him.
Amen.
Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for this great church and this opportunity. And Lord, I do pray that you'd bless in the remainder of the time together today. Lord, I do pray, dear God, that we would stay sweet. And Lord, we would guard the sweetness in our life and not let it slip away a little bit at a time. And what you do, we'll thank you in Jesus' name.